What are you wishing for right now? Is it something that will enrich and bless your present and lead you to your future? Or is it the good old days that weren't really that good? What if we transform what we wish for in light of the promises of God in our lives?
That's the Reverend Olu Brown, and today he shares a challenging message of faith called The Good Old Days. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. We're delighted to have back with us today the Reverend Olu Brown, lead pastor of Impact Church, a fast-growing United Methodist congregation in the East Point community of metropolitan Atlanta, Georgia. A native of Lufkin, Texas, Olu graduated from Jarvis Christian College in Hawkins, Texas, and earned his Master of Divinity from Gammon Theological Seminary at the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta. A busy church consultant, Olu is the author of several books, including Leadership Directions from Moses on the Way to a Promised Land, 4D Impact, Smash Barriers Like a Smart Church, and his latest, A New Kind of Venture Leader. Olu, welcome back to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
Last week, you brought us up to speed a bit with Impact Church, where you've served as the lead pastor since its founding in 2007, as well as your own upcoming shift in serving the church and the world. Tell us a bit more about what you'll be up to as you move into full-time leadership consulting work.
So in June of 2022, I'll no longer be a pastor in the local church. Had a great journey, and I'm going to take all of the skills and resources and people that I've met over these years and apply that to my own coaching and consulting firm with leaders, churches, and businesses to help them maximize and optimize their skills, potential, and people to execute their vision.
And you do a lot of speaking as well at conferences and retreats and so
I do. And as an author, it has afforded me that opportunity, and I've always enjoyed it. And I learn so much when I'm interacting with people at conferences and conventions and in local churches, and it becomes a part of my coaching and consulting work in the future.
Mm-hmm. You have written numerous books and resources that church and other leaders have found immensely helpful. One of your books is Leadership Directions from Moses, and you'll be referring to that in your sermon today. In short, what can that Old Testament giant tell us about leading today?
Moses taught us how to lead in difficult times. When we look at Numbers 32, which is a reflection of two tribes making a decision not to go into the Promised Land, it could have been a catastrophic moment for what we now call the Old Testament, because it could have changed everything.
Yeah.
But Moses was a skilled and gifted leader who was able to have difficult conversations that helped clear a path for a solution that we read about in the book of Joshua.
And 4D Impact, Smash Barriers Like a Smart Church, is available in a book and video bundles. How do you hope that approach can help churches move into the future?
So, interesting enough, the book was written pre-COVID-19, but still applies to post-COVID-19 because I believe there are certain core fundamental pieces that if a church focuses on, the church can be vital and healthy. A couple of those are general systems as it relates to volunteerism, staffing, and how we apply different principles to help people give more generously.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about systems. And then a second very key part is worship design. And I believe when we think about worship, we have to design worship for in-person community and virtual community.
Yes.
So the book talks about key focus areas for local churches to help them become more vital and healthy.
And you have a new book just out called A New Kind of Venture Leader. Tell
yes.
us about that.
So New Kind of Venture Leader is written for leaders navigating this pandemic world and post-pandemic world that we're living in. It talks about prayer. It talks about planning with a community in mind, how we can also evangelize in this new world that we're living in. And we can also teach and preach the love of Jesus Christ. But more than anything, it provides examples of hope. So a shiro of the biblical text, Esther, there's a narrative, an example from Esther's leadership. And then a hero from the biblical text, Joshua, some examples from his leadership. So we apply the models of Esther and Joshua to modern day leadership and give folks inspiration and information to navigate and lead in times like these.
So many people, it seems, have a fear of the future, but you speak of normalizing next.
Yes.
In fact, that's the topic of your next book. What do you mean by that?
Normalizing next is really a key foundation to my coaching and consulting business, and also the way I look at the world. There will always be a next. And if we can normalize next, then we have less anxiety and less fear about the future. And the way you normalize next is through prayer. It is planning and preparation and simply understanding that although the future may be an unknown to us, God is already in the future. And so if God is in the future, everything will be okay. And there's also some strategic planning and processes that we can put in place to reduce anxiety.
I don't know how you do it, but you're also working on a Lenten book.
Yes, yes.
What's your approach there?
So working through two different book resources that I believe will be a blessing. And the Lenten book resource is a focus on the Lord's Prayer. And to help people during this Lent season to walk through and understand that God deeply loves us unconditionally. And the same way God loves us, we are called to love all of humanity. So once again, during the Lenten season, a book of hope and inspiration to help us navigate these difficult moments and times in our lives.
Olu, how do you find time to write
Yes.
all these wonderful resources?
So I hope that people would consider them to be wonderful. I do my very best.
Yes.
One is I'm constantly writing. So as I am traveling or even in workplace or home place, I am constantly drafting different parts and aspects of the book resource. I wish I had a tremendous discipline like other authors to set aside time in the morning, afternoon, or evening, but that hasn't seemed to work best for me. So I typically constantly write and then designate time towards the end to put it all together into a final form for the publisher.
Well, your sermon this week draws from the third book of the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 11. Would you read it for us?
The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna."
Olu, put this into historical context for us. Where are we in the story of God's people?
So this sojourn of the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years, their diet was manna, which would have been a modern-day rice cake. And they complained because they remembered the good food that they had in Egypt. But what they didn't remember is that they ate the good food in bondage.
Yes.
And so we call this the good old days. And sometimes the good old days weren't that good because we have what we call selective memory.
Well, we look forward to hearing your sermon on this called The Good Old Days. Olu, thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter. My pleasure. There's a phrase that is often used, and it sounds like this: "I remember the good old days." Typically, when this phrase is spoken, it is not negative, but is a reflection of a person caught in the euphoria of nostalgia and reminiscing about the past. The Israelite community, led by Moses, had been journeying through the wilderness on their way to the promised land that God had in store for them and got trapped in a moment of nostalgia. Moses was following God's directions that he received at the burning bush and faithfully attempted to lead God's people to the promised land, even when they wished for the good old days back in Egypt. There were ups and downs, but the Israelites persevered and provided the world with a tremendous story of hope, perseverance, and faith. Although the story reads like a modern-day movie series, it is an accurate account of God's people, the Israelites, and God's love for them that covered and protected them over their 40-year sojourn through the wilderness. In the text, they reached a point on the journey where the people were upset and frustrated with God and Moses. It is an example of what happens in leadership when we are called to lead people towards a vision and a promise. Then suddenly we encounter roadblocks along the way. You may not think of yourself as a leader and may not compare yourself to Moses, but you are a leader. And as a leader, you will experience the good old day conversations with people you know and love, and no matter how much you want future visions for them, they may choose the past. This often happens with family and friends and with children who choose a different path than the one their parents or loved ones desire for them, or when a friend is certain about a decision that their circle of friends feel may not be the best path. While these types of scenarios are often encountered in leadership and friendships, my hope is that you don't become discouraged and that you stay focused on the promise and vision God gave you. There were so many times along the way when Moses could have gotten off track or forsaken the promise that God gave him, but he persevered. And because of his perseverance, today we have the beautiful story of the Israelites and their journey through the wilderness. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid, because God is with you. God promised to never leave nor forsake you, even in difficult times. It reminds me of the words of one of my favorite poems by one of my favorite poets, Langston Hughes, in his poem, Mother to Son. Well, son, I'll tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor. Bare. But all the time, I's been climbing on and reaching landings and turning corners and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on the steps 'cause you finds it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I's still going, honey. I's still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair. The Israelite community said to Moses, "We remember." Verse 4 opens with the good old days' most popular and most frequently used words. We remember. The Israelite community was on their way to the place of promise, but before they could make it to the land flowing with milk and honey, they had to live in the wilderness. The wilderness did not have the latest quick service food franchises offering Uber Eats delivery. They were upset with the daily food menu of manna, which is similar to a present-day bread, rice, or loaf cake. They complained to Moses about what was being served and said, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." What is interesting is that the food they craved and desired was served and eaten while they were slaves in Egypt. It is worthy to mention that they recall the food they ate, but not the captivity in which they ate their food. This is the trouble with recalling the good old days, using selective memory that allows one to pick and choose what and how they remember. As we navigate life and people tell us their good old day stories, we have to consider that what they remember may be selective and the good old days may not have been that good at all. Does this mean that we discredit people's stories and journeys? No. We take the time, like Moses, to hear what they are saying, empathize with their concerns, and understand where they are coming from. Ultimately, as leaders, we must know that it is not about us. This wasn't the only time Moses faced the Israelites complaining or remembering what they had in the past. In Numbers 32, the Reubenite and Gadite tribes, two of the 12 tribes of Israel, told Moses that they didn't want to go to the Promised Land, but wanted to stay in what was geographically known as the Transjordan. In my book, Leadership Directions from Moses on the Way to the Promised Land, I gave the following reflection. Leadership is all about showing people the future while knowing deep down that they may not choose the future we see for them. This reality is painful to face. When we read Moses' story and the journey of the Israelites through the wilderness, there were many points along the way when Moses became upset and disappointed with God's people. Whether it was their complaints about the food or two of the 12 tribes deciding against going to the Promised Land, the situation was very disappointing at times for Moses. Some of the best advice I have received that is most helpful when we are in relationships with people who seem to be stuck in the not-so-good good old days is not to take it personally and know it is not about you. They said, "We won't." Not only did the Israelites remember the good old days in Egypt differently, they also wanted to return to Egypt. Wanting to return to Egypt was even more dangerous than how they remembered their bondage in Egypt. In chapter 14 of Numbers, after the people were frustrated with Moses again and feared for their lives, they said, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Not only did they remember Egypt, but they also wanted to go back to Egypt. Essentially, they were saying, "We would rather be slaves again than trust in the brighter and more hopeful future God has in store for us." It may be easy for us to read the story of the Israelites and place judgment on them for having such a spectacular opportunity to live in the land of promise, while at the same time struggling with wanting to return to a place of bondage and slavery. When we think about our lives today, we aren't much different. For the Israelites, returning was physical, but for many people, returning today is emotional and mental. We find ourselves selectively remembering the past and reverting back to the ways of thinking and feeling that aren't healthy and good for us. Returning to fear and believing we don't have enough of what it takes for God's vision to come to pass in our lives. Returning to leftover and rewarm conversations that don't give life and joy to the current moment we're living in. Or returning to certain careers and behaviors that we left behind that didn't fulfill us or fully utilize our potential because we choose the known of the past over the unknown of the future. On the surface, the complaint was about food, but below the surface, the concern was much deeper. It was all about faith. They lacked the faith to trust that God had something better for them. Therefore, they were willing to trade the unknown possibilities of God for the known bondage of slavery. I'm not here to say that I would have been much better than the Israelites and that I would not have complained. In my own life, I complain to God about things that are much easier and simpler than the cause of the Israelites' complaints. I am saying that the source of their complaining was their struggle with faith. And after years and years of wandering through the wilderness, failing to see that God really had something great in store for their future. Not only is it easy to get trapped in the past, but we can also get trapped in the frustration of now. It often sounds like the following. Life is not working out now. My family is in trouble now. My debt is mounting now. I am not sure where God is now. Today can be just as difficult to manage as the past because we have a tendency to feel trapped and isolated in our todays. In these moments, we may feel God has forgotten about us and the promise God gave us will not come to pass. The Israelites had journeyed for a long time and had become discouraged. The superficial complaint was food, but the actual issue was wanting to turn back to the known since they were afraid of the unknown. They said, "We remember." They said, "We want to return." But they also said, "We wish." Like the Israelites who wanted to return to Egypt, we have places, people, and experiences that we want to return to. They may not be the best for us, which leads us to existing in a state of wishing. The same way the good old days phrase begins with the words, "I remember," wishing typically begins with, "I wish I." You can fill in the blank for yourself. Whenever I want to return to places that aren't good for me physically or emotionally, I tend to say I wish for a certain time and place. What are you wishing for right now? Is it something that will enrich and bless your present and lead you to your future? Or is it the good old days that weren't really that good? What if we transform what we wish for in light of the promises of God in our lives? As we are coming through a pandemic and experiencing so many other tragedies, we can't forget the promises of God. Each day, we have to remember that the unknown of God's future for us is far greater than the known of the past we have already lived. For us, it means that we work to focus less on those things that are temporary or momentary challenges and look beyond where we have been and where we are to where God is taking us. At the beginning of the pandemic, I had to make this pivot for myself because the challenges of leading in a pandemic were difficult and still are. I found myself talking about the church and the world before the pandemic and longing to go back until I realized the world and church would never be the same again. Through faith, I have been able to trust God in the midst of a pandemic and to look forward to the future when there will be no more pain, sickness, disease, bloodshed, war, poverty, brokenness, and fear. Go ahead. Label me as a hopeless optimist if you want to. I will accept the label because I refuse to go back to the past that is known. I am moving forward into a future with God that is unknown. Come with me today. Together with our faith, we will hold fast to God's promises for our lives and live the advice of Langston Hughes in his poem, Mother to Son. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on the steps because you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I's still going, honey. I's still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Olu Brown, author, speaker, consultant, and lead pastor of Impact Church United Methodist in East Point, Georgia. For a free transcript of his sermon, The Good Old Days, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial gifts of our faithful listeners. We're grateful for your help. This is Peter Wallace. Next week, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. Christine Chikoyan, pastor of Westwood Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles, California. I hope you'll be listening for her inspiring message, God's Vision. That's next week on Day One. This is Peter Wallace. These are difficult times for each one of us. It's not easy to bear witness to God's love amid the confusion, fear, and division surrounding us. But there is hope for our hurting, divided world, and Day One continues to proclaim it. But after 76 years of effective ministry, Day One faces an urgent challenge. We work hard to be the best stewards possible of God's provision through our loyal listeners. But we've reached the point where we must ask you to prayerfully consider making a generous tax-deductible gift. Our future ministry may depend on it. Please mail your contribution to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305, or call us at 404-815-9110, or donate securely online at dayone.org. Please help Day One continue to share God's hope and love through powerful preaching. It's needed more than ever. Thank you, and God bless you. Now, our Day One preacher, Olu Brown, offers some final reflections on his sermon today, The Good Old Days. And Olu, on their way to the Promised Land under Moses' leadership, the Israelites got trapped in a moment of good old days nostalgia, you said. While dining on divinely provided manna in the wilderness, they were reminiscing about all the good food they had back in Egypt, forgetting that they were horribly treated slaves back then and forgetting God's miraculous liberation. It's amazing how blind we can be when remembering the past. You called it selective memory. You said sometimes the good old days weren't that great at all, and if we would take a moment to fully remember the experiences of the past, we may be more grateful for the present and look to the future. Some people do seem to get stuck in an imagined rosy past. How would you suggest they get unstuck, and why should they?
It's really all about faith. We have a tendency to fear the future, but what we must understand is the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The future doesn't always give us the evidence or the data or the analytical information that we have in our present. And although the past wasn't great, we still have the information of the past. So what we find ourselves doing from time to time is choosing the known of our past instead of the unknown of our future. But through faith, we can believe that God has something even greater for us in our tomorrow if we just simply trust and move forward.
You said the desire to return to Egypt, whatever Egypt represents for us, is real, and if left unchecked, we will find ourselves always living on the border of the great things God wants to do for us and never fully living in the great things God has for us. In the Israelites' case, the superficial complaint was food, but the actual issue was wanting to turn back, as you say, to the known, since they were afraid of the unknown ahead of them. How do we overcome that fear of what God has ahead for us?
I believe we can best overcome that fear in community. And of course, coming through a pandemic, building and developing community hasn't been as easy as it has been in the past, but we've got to find creative ways to build community for encouragement, for wisdom, for insight, even for correction. So in my own personal life, when I get caught on the border of my possibilities, God always has people who are in my community who can help me course correct and realize, Olu, there is really something bigger and better that God has in store for you. And the fear that you have of going into your future might not be as real as you're making it right now.
Olu, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
It's all about the promise. Whenever we're afraid or we're concerned, remember, God has a promise for you, and God will not forget about the promise. The same way for the Israelites, although it took them 40 years, the promise was eventually fulfilled. I can't tell you how long it will take for your promise to come to pass, but I promise you it will happen.
Olu Brown, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a pleasure.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.